Come on, let's tell God good morning. Good morning, God. Good morning, God. Come on, do that. Good morning, God. Good morning. This is the very top of the day that the Lord have made, and we're rejoicing and we're being glad in it. I am grateful, filled with joy, an abundant amount of energy, probably much more than I deserve having. But God is just that good. He exceeds all of our expectations always. And if we look like the way that we have did ourselves, if we looked like the things that we have done, we would be a mess. Somebody say, but by the grace of God. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Slip your hands together and bless him just for that very reason. Right. By the grace of God, we are here and we're looking in pretty good shape. Anybody remember the sermon title, Slightly Used But in Good Condition? You remember that one? Everybody said, uh-huh. That was the story of Ruth and Naomi going to Ruth. And that was my way of getting the message across that Naomi's testimony is that I'm slightly used, but I'm still in good condition. And I feel like preaching that, but not today. Eddie, good to see you. See you with these young men on front row. I got all these young, when I see these young gladiators, from Shamar to Cash, Derek, and Zakai, all of these young men across the front line, y'all don't know. That's a message from heaven to me. That is an indication. That's an indicator. My indicator light is on, and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 young men. That is an indicator to me. Amen. That God trust me with young men to be before them and to mentor and to counsel. Now, I don't know how other people count their blessings, but I never did good with arithmetic anyway, but when it comes to counting my blessings, you wouldn't understand. Tell your neighbor that you wouldn't understand. You over there, what are you over there counting? Blessings? What are you smiling for? Blessings? I'm counting my blessings, right? Now, there is the next question. How many gonna complain? I won't complain. Amen. Now, April, you and I are going to have to look at each other because just as sure as tomorrow morning comes, we're going to call one another with some complaint. But we don't mean no harm. That's what cousins do. They have to vent. That's called venting. We have to vent. Vita looking back to somebody because she must call Cassie. I'm going to call you tomorrow venting, baby. I ain't complaining. I'm venting. I see you. I can see good from up here. In the spirit realm. Yeah. Everybody got that somebody that they call and they just, you got to get that off your chest, you know? And you don't just choose anybody. You choose someone who knows that you need that moment to just woosah. I need that moment to not be judged, but in this moment, let me have this moment. And if you don't have that somebody, get that somebody. Amen. So, because you need that, but you need someone truly spiritual, someone that's mature, and someone who has an experience with God to be able to go to them and just really just let your hair all down and let off steam. Don't do it in the presence of the one that is combative or gearing. Don't do it with them. You let them be. Don't swap energy with them. You know, just don't do that. Let them go ahead and let it fizzle out. So, but anyway. Sermon for another day, but some good counsel for you, because today I'm so energized. Gina, good to see you. Y'all have a good fourth. You have to think. That's Ariel, you know, another day. You worked most of it, so that's why I can understand probably, yeah. But praying for Taffany this morning. We got the call on the way in. She had to go in and just wasn't feeling well. And we're praying, God, that when she gets to the urgent care that she's going to be okay. And if we get a report back before it's over, give us a thumbs up. Happy birthday, Aunt Gloria. You let us get out of here. Why don't you tell people that you having birthdays anymore? I wonder. I got out of here last week and did not say happy birthday to you. We weren't here last week. Week before last. Her birthday is on July the 1st. Happy birthday. How many years? 83 years. Come on, give God a great praise, man. And then her youngest was on the 7th of July, Marilyn. I forgot to text her. Did I say that right? Marilyn's birthday is on the 7th? Right. Okay. And she turned, let me see, she's the same age. She's 40. She, oh, I ain't going to tell her age over the air, but she turned. But her sister will. They turned 49. So, yeah. So happy birthday to them. July is going to have a lot of other birthdays. We got Zach's birthday coming up, and Zakai's birthday is coming up. Today. Happy birthday, Zakai. Keisha's is the 25th. Okay, cool. And then my mother-in-law's birthday was yesterday, July the 12th. Amen. We had celebrated her birthday last night with dinner. So, yeah, all of these July. Zakai, what'd you turn today? Oh, no. License to drive. Well, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. Derek, did you turn 16 yet? Not yet. Are you already 16? You driving? Not yet? Okay. It's coming. When you drive, you're going to have to go to the store for everything. Trust me, we think of stuff when you can drive that we won't. Run down to the store for me, son. Yeah, that's the good part about our kids driving. So it's coming. Listen, you all, when we were last here, we spoke of the indicators. What I want to do that I think is really good for us and enriching right now is for me to really get a reader. Cassie, will you give me a microphone off my desk so that I can actually read the Revelations chapter 1? Let's everybody go to Revelations chapter 1. I think that would be good in instructions right now for us to read Revelations chapter 1. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this, and this is for specifically for this session, is if you can change your translation on your mobile device, change it to KJV. Change it to King James Version. Do that for me so that we are all reading the same translation. Now, I know you won't get as much out of it, and it's going to cause you, but let's do that. And I know that it's going to be helpful that we all, as we can, read from the King James Version of Revelations chapter number 1. Who ended up with the mic? Tracy? Okay. All right, Tracy, let's go ahead and read. Now, we only have 20 verses of this, so this shouldn't take long, okay? Verse 1? Yes.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which shortly come to pass, and he said and signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirit which are before his throne, and Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right.
which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isles that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto
Pergamos,
and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Yes.
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I was alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Everyone say, I am my own angel.
I am my own angel.
All right, you've listened to this. It's been read in your presence. We have gone for 3 months, 4 months now, leading our way into understanding Revelations as it is presented to us in the Holy Writ, and so many different ways. We have gone to understand ourselves as being not two-dimensional, but we are dimensional beings. There is no way that you can restrict us to only body, no way only spirit, and no way only mind, but we are the triune creation of God. We are mind, body, and spirit. We must acknowledge them all. We must have fellowship with them all. And we must most of all know how to conduct ourselves in the way that we have created, only with the way that God prescribes to us by his Holy Spirit. He has the master plan to our makeup. He has the master plan to our blueprint. We are very complex in our creation, people. Extremely complex. You heard this in some of the things that I've asked you to read in your spare time, where Paul gets in this discussion where he sounds like he's talking crazy. He says something like this: no longer is it I that sin, but it is a sin that is in my flesh. As though he is saying that there's two of me, that there is more than one of me. We must come to understand that Paul has come to a revealed knowledge about his complex existence, to be able to distinguish between the sin that is in him, in his flesh, and the person that God has created him to be, that is sinless. my God. Revelations, while it is often avoided, is the best term, because of the taboo nature or the history of our teaching and instructions, that it to hear words like scary and so mysterious, and then we've heard on other fronts where it's being taught that it is so apocalyptic and so futuristic. We've heard so many things, but what we have learned is that it is the writing that comes with the offer of a very special blessing for hearing and reading the words that are in this prophecy. We have learned that the reason that it is avoided, because it tells us about our true state of being with God. Amen. And no one really wants to hear how they really are. Right. We learn in life to appreciate the filter. And the majority of our days are spent behind a filter. We are presenting a facade. The real us, we keep hidden. We are just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, who actually think that we can cover ourselves before God, when he knows the untold things, the unspoken things. He knows. And he knows that the best way for you to improve and to be helped and to grow is for you to come to grips with where you really are and what you're all about. Somebody say no filter. You really can't have a filter with God. You know, because he'll come and say, where art thou? Already knowing where you are. But it's so much love in him asking you, where art thou? Because now you got an indication that he knows. He spotted me. You know, he knows. He's aware that I am actually hiding behind this facade, that I'm somewhere that I should not be. I am in a condition that is not conducive to having him as my father and me being his child. So we avoid that. Revelations is so precious to us because now you can really lose the filter and you can live where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. You don't have to live behind the judgment of men. You don't have to live behind the judgments of your own judgment. So that's why we go here. We hear him as he starts to open in the book of Revelations, where John makes it clear. What else have we learned? That John didn't just show up. John is the product of one assignment given in the Garden of Eden to the next, to the next, to the next, and to the next. And throughout the history of man and every generation, God has always had that one person that escapes so that God furthers his plan for humanities. He continues no matter what, no matter how bad things are. We go back from the flood. In the flood, there was who? Noah. All right? In the Egypt episode, being held hostage, there was Moses. And then there was an Abraham. And then there was an Isaac, and then there was a Jacob, and then there was a Joseph, and then there was a David, and then there was, and there was, and there was, and there was. There is always someone who escapes. We look at the tower whose top was supposed to reach heaven in an endeavor to build their own way to have a relationship with God. That's all that represents. I'm going to have my own relationship with God the way I want to have it. I'm going to impress God with flossing for him to say, look around and see me next to him. Like, oh, my God, how did you get up here? Well, we build a tower whose top reached heaven. Mm-hmm. We want to take a back door to get to God. The man who abases himself, God will exalt him in his time. You don't build your way up impressing God with your intelligence, with your industrial astuteness, your ability to do this, to get wealth, and to earn. Just because you can put a bumper sticker or afford a license plate that is an environmental license plate that says, I'm blessed. No, you got a bill. You got a car note. That's what you really got. You know what I'm saying? You don't impress God with flexing him based on your possessions or your all of the efforts of your humankind. And they wanted to attempt to impress God with this. And God says, you know, let us go down here and deal with this because there's nothing that man puts to his imagination. I'm talking about you all now. Trust me, the person that you're sitting close to, when they put it in their mind to do something, they're going to get away with it. I don't know at what point you're going to know that they're doing it, but they're going to get away with it. When they put it in their mind, every one of you brainiacs out there, when you put it in your mind, God said that about you. What I'm going to do now, because of the intricacy and the complexity of their creation, in that I've made them in my likeness, I've got to go down and cause there to be where there was once oneness, so that when Don and Jock get together, whatever they come up with, they're successful. This is Clyde and Clyde. This ain't Bonnie and Clyde. This is Clyde and Clyde. And when we ride down, whatever we do, good, bad, or indifferent, we're successful in it. I've got to go down and put a wedge so that at the point that individuals get together to cooperate, come on, let us build a tower whose top reach heaven. There's going to come a point where they become confused and cannot communicate with one another.
That's right?
Trust me, when your enemies gain together on you, don't worry about them. They will be confused. They're going to end up battling one another. You will no longer become the object, the subject, or the target of their intent to destroy. They're going to become confused. That's what happened with them building the tower whose top reached heaven. They became confused. Send us up this. They send up the wrong thing. Now, you know what ensued after you send up. The dummies down there keep sending up brick, and we need straw. Did you just call me a dummy? Now, where there was once peace, collaboration, and togetherness to do something that was against God, now there is complete what? Chaos and confusion. Now, as a result of this, they can't live together anymore. So now they get scattered all over the land. I'm finished with the Tower of Babel. God brings up one man. What's his name? You forgot it. Shem. Now, even when the whole world, just like in the flood, when everybody is dispersed or everyone has drowned, God brings out one person so that he can father his plan. Now, every one of you in this room right now, every one of us represents that person. It is not the book of Psalms. It is not the book of Daniel. It is not the book of Ezekiel. It is the book of Don. It is the book of Gloria. It is the book of Cassandra. It is the book of Eddie. God is continuing his plan, and now you are the book, the chapter, the verse, and the word. You are Jesus Christ, the living word, right now in this dispensation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are that word. No, it is not the word on a page. No, it is not a word that is to be read. No, it is not a word that is to be preached. It is a word that lives in you. You are the living word. You can't throw Bibles at people and expect them to just miraculously just get right. You can't put on a suit and a tie and think that everybody is going to honor and respect you because you are some representation of some accolade and sitting in high places. People could care less about you, your suit, and your Bible. You are the living word. I know, I don't want to think of myself as being a book in the Bible. Well, don't think of yourself, but it doesn't mean that you are not. You are now the presence of God in this in this very dispensation. You've got to get out of denial about what God have deposited in you. You are a precious stone, a lively stone. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Stand on your feet, clap your hands, because God did it for you. That's what he made. Stand up, use your hips. God thinks that much of you. He thinks that much of you. It has nothing to do with the idea of what you think you deserve. It's God's plan for you. God ain't got time for no mess. That's why all of the messes you made, he's turning them into masterpieces. Be seated, because he don't deal with mess. You ain't no junk. You ain't something in a yard sale. You're not an object from a flea market. You are a very precious stone in the eyesight of God. Get out of denial. Get out of denial. Oh, I drank when I was up. Well, you drank, you did. That's your flesh. That's what flesh do. Flesh drink and then say that's enough and take another drink. Until it's drunk, then the flesh go to bed and you get up the next morning. What did I do? Everything that you've done that embarrasses you, the things that now causes you to be convicted, they are good things. It lets you know that you belong to God because it bothers you. If it didn't bother you, then you belong to the other side. You have no consciousness. But by very virtue of the idea of you cringing, when you think about some things that you've done, tell God thank you. Because there is a part of you, just like Paul, that wasn't about that foolishness that you did. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not proud of it. I performed it. I did it. But Paul say there is a dimension of me. And there's a dimension of every one of us that is sinless. And that's the God part. Amen. Now, you are to shift your cognition as your being cognitive, your awareness, your being, everything that makes you who you are to shift more to the God side. Amen. And less of this side over here, the flesh, the carnal side. You've got to shift it. Somebody say Jesus had to do it. Goes into Gethsemane. Heavy. How heavy was it? It says that he was sorely and terribly depressed. Goes into the garden called Gethsemane. He gets in there, goes in with some serious warriors, Peter, James, and John. He tells them, you stay here. I'm going to go there. Extremely heavy. When you think that things are heavy, Jesus know they're heavy. Because he has dealt with the heaviness in life. I got all of these people running around here talking about Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I am the Son of God. 6 days from now, they will be saying, crucify me with the same tongue. But I've got to still look at them and love them and care for them. I've got to lay down my life for them. And here they are, turning their backs on me, deceiving me. He tells Peter, James, and John, the cream of the crop, you better get you a Peter, James, and a John. Don't get you just a Peter. Get you a Peter and a James. And while you're at it, get you a John. There's power in a three-strand cord. Preach today, Holy Ghost. It's good to have one somebody, but when God can give you three somebodies, in that way, it ain't going to ever be no majority rule. You can't get no majority out of three. They got to agree. Top down. Oh, the Holy Ghost is special. You can't get no majority out of three. It's going to always be. You understand what I'm saying? So you get in here, and now I got, he goes in. He says, Peter, James, and John, you stay here. And I'm going to go farther. Farther than you can go. So he went in, and he became extremely heavy, fell down on his knees, and showed us what to do when you get heavy. Take it to God. What does he say? Lord, let this cup pass me. You think just because you ask God to get you out of it, you're the first one that you're being wrong? Jesus said it. When he said, Lord, let this cup pass me by, somebody translate that. Don't let me have to deal with this. He did it for you. Just because sometimes you tell God this heavy. Tell him it's more than I can bear. Tell him, God, this heavy. Jesus went and he says, permit this cup to pass me by. But wait a minute. He's dimensional. His flesh said, get me out of this. What did his spirit say? Not my will, but let thy will be done. I want to go. I'm staying. I want to quit. Lord, I'm here. You see what I'm saying? At the same time, both of his beings is in operation, Eddie. I'm about to run for the hills. I'm about to go. But the will of him, which is the stronger part of him, says, not my will, but let thine will be done. I don't have to get out of this. Daniel didn't have to come out of the lion's den. The Hebrew boys didn't have to come out of the fiery furnace. I don't have to avoid the cross. The cross is the glory of God in me. This is the cause I came into the world. Are y'all hearing me? I pray God I'm helping you. So you don't get in there sniveling like you some kind of sissy and you just, you get in there and you get tough. You tell God, bring the better part out of me. God, show up and show yourself strong in me right now. Come on, you know I want to quit because that's what the flesh does. It quits. But great is he. Come on, y'all, say it for me. Than him, and the one that's in me is God. Him that is in the world is my flesh. You already out. You ain't coming out. You already out. Whew, I felt that. You ain't coming out. Somebody here thinking, Lord, I'm coming out. No, you ain't coming out. You already out. You're going to know it today, and you're going to shout later because you think you're going to scare somebody right now because you ain't coming out. You already out. God have brought you out. So he goes in. Peter, James, and John, he said, you stay here. He goes in. Now watch this. How heavy is it? Catch this one. Don't forget it, Zakai. It's called hemohidrosis. Hemohidrosis. Hemo coming from blood. Hydrosis coming from water. When y'all see him going to Calvary and all of that stuff that y'all see, the real pain was in Gethsemane. The pain was in Gethsemane. Because now he is sweating as drips of blood. Somebody say, is it possible? It is medically possible that blood can actually escape sweat glands. It can, but only Jesus has done this. It gets so heavy that the blood that is shed, now this is done, is shed when he's doing it for me in Gethsemane. Because when I get to Calvary, that blood that I'm shedding, that's hurt blood. You get it? The blood that you see that's red, that's dripping, that's Mary's blood. But my daddy's blood, I shedded that in Gethsemane. Yes, 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 yes. You get it? Yes. When he brought me through, when he brought me out, that's where I really shed the blood. It's because the battle is me getting over the idea that I'm going to turn my back on God, and I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Look at here, y'all finna tear me up today. Bro, don't do me like that. Yeah. My brother to come in here. That is the place that we get to the point when we get to that. By the time you get to the physical part, the Calvary part, where people doing all the physical stuff to you, you've already overcome that. Yeah. When you get to where Jesus was, where when you wanted to quit, yeah, he's already brought you through. Jesus. he comes out of his prayer for a moment to go check on his boys. Peter, James, and John, what are they doing? Sleep. So even when you get you a Peter and a James and a John, you still got to depend on God. You just got them for moral support because they're going to go to sleep on you. Majority of the people around you right now, they sleeping on you. I'm going to pray for you. They sleep. They ain't praying. They are not praying. They are asleep. I'm just telling you the truth. Their spirit is willing, but they weak. He said, can't y'all just watch with me for a couple of hours? Right? Now, that's the warning. He goes back and he prays some more. That's actually when he prayed, not my will, let thy will be done. He goes back a second time to check on his boys. These are the people that say, I'm down for you. I'm going to be there with you. Oh, it can be in the form of your husband. It can be in the form of your wife, your mother, your daughter. They're going to be there with you. And you get back, well, I would, but. Awoke, but still sleep. Well, right now, I'm a dad. I done said it. Daddy, can you, I would, but sleep. I can't do it. I can't help you with what you're going through right now. You catch it? So he says, I tell you what, y'all sleep on. That's what he told them. You sleep on. He went in and he finished what he had to do. Now, when he come out, catch it now. Where was he just in? Gethsemane. What was he doing? Praying, overcoming, breakthrough. He comes out, meets with Peter, James, and John. You Bible scholars, who's the next one that he run in touch with? Come on, y'all. He's here, Father. Comes back here to Nera with his three. Who does he run into? No. Come on, y'all. Garden of Gethsemane. Who does he run into? He just finished all of that. Who kissed him?
Judas. You just went through all of that.
And who do you have to deal with? The great betrayer. You know you had to be ready for that. Because now it's pistols blazing, dukes up, you're ready to throw them things. Huh? Judas did his thing, kissed him. Then the soldiers grabbed him. Peter ain't sleep now. I ain't got my pistol on me. I ain't got my knife either. But I got some around me. Put them away. I'm always packing. God's going to always have that somebody around you, Regina, that's going to be there to do it. But he is in such a spiritual way. I'm not going to say that if Jesus had not just come out of Gethsemane, he would have said, Peter, do what you do. But I do know that you just come out of being strengthened, optimized by your Father. Now is the time that the lowest thing that could happen to you is going to happen, and that is to be betrayed by one of your own. Ate your food, wore your clothes, did all of that, but betrayed you. When they put hands on him, Peter pulls his knife. He just got to an ear. The rest of that man was going to be for supper for Peter. Jesus told him, put it away, healed the man's ear, and went on to do what he had to do. They took him from there, took him to all of the judgments, and then he goes to Calvary. Now everybody want to cry over this blood and being beaten and all of that and all of that. The battle had already been fought, people. When you get to Calvary, that's just color on the page. He had already given his life. That's why from Calvary they said, saved others, you've saved yourself. And he hollered back down, for this cause came I into the world. You saved others, save yourself. I know why I'm here. Do you know why you're here? Huh? That brings us to the point, that brings me back, and I made that so dramatic because I wanted you to know that there is nothing that you can go through that Jesus has not already dealt with, so that you can separate between yourself being the carnal you and the spiritual you. Say it for me one more time. Great is he that is in me. Finish it. By the time that I get to the book of Revelations, I'm now officially and spiritually learning how to deal with my human self, my carnal self. The enemy does not want you to get this intel. He wants you ignorant. He wants you to feel defeated based on what you did in your flesh. He doesn't want you to know that there's a part of you inside of you that is sinless, that cannot sin. You think he wants you to know that? So that you can differentiate? He wants you locked up, confused, thinking that, boy, I'm going to spend 2,000 years and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to be great and I'm going to take out so many and I'm going to take out and I'm going to be released with all of this power. Brother, you shooting your best shot right now. You ain't going to be able to do no more than you already doing right now. That's what he wants you to think, that he ain't in power yet. He is doing the most that he will ever be able to do right now. Huh? He wants you to think that there's going to be a millennial. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a this. There's going to be a that. That's why we've spent the last 3 months to learn that the book of Peter says that with God, 1,000 years is one day. Now, you're going to take me back to do arithmetic and start clocking God on the chronos when in reality, he is a God of a kairos, which means the fullness of time, meaning everything is perfect for this to happen right now. Now you design time around what God has performed. You don't surround God's performance around time. Did somebody get that? It was the year King Uzziah died. What year was that? The year King Uzziah died. What year was that? When God performed in that manner, that was the year that King Uzziah died. If God hadn't performed, it wouldn't have been the year that King Uzziah died. God couldn't have, Uzziah wouldn't have died. It was the year that King Uzziah died. God, everything that happens has to happen inside the kairos. You can't take your TikTok and put God on it. In the fullness of time. Meaning everything has come together, Carolyn. Every mistake has happened. Every hiccup has happened. Every victory has been completed. And now that all of that has been done, now I'm about to do this. Huh? Oh, you've been duped. You've been fooled. That's happening to you because of who your parents were. That's happening to you because of who this was. That's happening because of nothing. No. Oh, and this one that they talk. The curse going to go down to the second and the third and the fourth generation. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. You think I'm about to accept a curse? Because you're going to tell me, see, you the third generation, so you, man, get on out of here with that. That's just like me prophetically telling you, you got a blessing. I see in 7 days that God going to do so and so and so and so. You need to look back at me and say, bro, don't be holding me up for no 7 days. God doing that can do that right now. Run around prophetically giving you these hopes and dreams and empty promises of things that can happen. God is a right now doing it right now. It ain't going to get better. It's better already. When I know who I am to God right now, I don't have to wait. It's like right now, in this moment. Do you realize the power of God over your life right now? How much he can visit you? No, that's what you're scared of. Y'all be sitting up here like y'all really want Jesus to come. If he showed up, y'all be killing me. Come on up in here, Lord. And if he does, in the magnitude that you're thinking that he's coming here, you ain't ready. But he will flood your life and catch you off guard, where all of a sudden you feel the essence of his power over your life. You don't feel the narcissism of the human flesh. You feel the powering up of God as though there is no worry and no concern. He got me. It doesn't last long, but it's just a glimpse where nothing worries you and you feel powerful. Usually, it's sometime when you're in your solitude, and we discussed this the other day because I went from Murphy singing, "This is my season," to Mary J. Blige. Cassie say, when you just out here listening to church music, and she came back out there and Mary J. was killing, boy, I was on that patio and I was killing. And we know we the same. When I listen to something, I do my own thing inside myself. It don't make any difference if it's Snoop, Master P, doesn't make any difference if it's the Winans or whoever. When I listen to that, it's in my soul that I'm meditating on the goodness of God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Maybe you don't have the ability to do that. I can feel good no matter what the melody is, because I write my own lyrics. I compose, huh? And I can worship him in the soft jazz, or you can drop it low, and I can still praise him. Now, don't you try this at home. I'm just telling you the relationship that I got with God. This is his vessel, and I can worship him in the beauty of his holiness. I don't need no organ, no drums, and no mic. Y'all just don't know. I can get happy for no reason. Can I glory Dean? And when I do, I will stop the car in the middle of 431, pull over, get out, and I will run around until I will embarrass you. Because when it get full, when I get full, I don't need nothing. But I was with the wrong one. I had Peter with me. I had John with me. Not Peter. I had John. She was in the car shop. I'm out running around. When I got back in, she on the inside. Yes. 431, we on our way to Anniston. I talked too long about God. Got happy, and I couldn't drive. Lord, one of us can't do that. I don't trust letting the steering wheel go. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to park it. Get out, and I just got to run right now. Got back in. We did that quite a bit, did we, Glory? Going to Anniston. We shout all the way. I think she was doing that to keep me awake. Okay. We have to get to the point to where we know that God is overshadowing us and he empowers us. When you get to the book of Revelations now, the first thing that Jesus does, we heard it read, right? John said, I am the one with the assignment to bring this revelation to you about who you really are and who you are to God. Now, I just touched everybody in here, including myself. John was with the assignment, John the Revelator. It fell on him. And he's writing about you to let you know how God feels and what you're about you and what your assignment is. He says, I want you to write. The first thing he has to clarify is who he is revealing to you about you. The last we heard from Jesus, he was ascending into the air. Hello. They were watching him go into heaven, and the angels came and said, Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the air? The same way he left, he's coming again. That's the last we heard from Jesus. Wrong. He showed up on the road to two men. He showed up at their house. He showed up on the fishing boat many times after he resurrected, right? His spirit showed his presence. But the last we heard is that Jesus had phalanges. He had torso. He had lower extremities, legs, arms, tongue, and he was in the form of a man, right? People, that's done. Jesus ain't coming down with fingers and nose and eyes and toes no more. He's not coming up in here walking. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word made flesh ended itself on Calvary. Died in its corrupt state, rose in majesty. The first thing that John does when you look in the book of Revelations is makes it clear to you no longer is Jesus to be considered one who is in the flesh. Please, don't make no images of him in the flesh. Not even in your mind. You're limiting the extent of his power trying to put him back into the flesh. In your life. Huh? Lord, I don't need you to rub my back. Console me from my inner being. Console me. Console me right here, y'all. It doesn't, for me to be temporarily fixed here about something on the outside. If you make me whole on the inside, I can deal with everything else that is external. John describes Jesus. How does he describe him? Now watch what happens. I'm moving all the way down to verse number what? 14? What do you hear that description? He has hair like, feet like, voice like, many waters. Now we trying to make Jesus Jamaican and European, and we trying to make him everything. We want him to be a Rasta. He got to be a Hebrew. He got to be a Jew. He got to be a, well, I tell you what, y'all let him be all of that. Because he is what he always was from the beginning, and that is he is God. And no longer is he wrapped in any flesh. He did that only for an example for you and I to learn how to deal with this. And now he is living in the glorified existence of the all power of his Father. They are one. How many times as you look in the book of Revelations, number one, do you hear John making it clear that he is no longer in the flesh, but he is now in the majesty and the power of his Father? Let me do this and we'll be finished for today, people. The reason I'm pointing out this, look at the first, let me give you indicators in Revelations 1, okay? The first indicator is Revelations 1 and 3. You might want to write these down. He deals with time so that you can not put this writing on a clock and try to do some physics with numbers. He tells you the kairos in Revelations 1 and 3 shows you urgency. Not that he's going to come. He is now. Right now, not the chronos, but he shifts everything to the kairos. That must happen now, not later. This is not an apocalyptic event. This is not something going to happen. Well, I ain't going to be here when that happened. It's happening now in your life. And it happened in the life of everyone prior to you, the fullness of every verse of the book of Revelations occurred in everyone's life. don't sit here waiting for Jesus to come out on the clouds. I got a point because somebody told me, and they study good, that if I'm waiting for Jesus to come out on the cloud, they can manipulate the clouds. So Jesus ain't riding on them. He ain't riding on nothing that man can control. They can make it where they want it to rain, when they want it to rain, how much they want it to rain. Do they have the ability to do that? Certainly you can. You can turn certain chemicals in the atmosphere will make things happen, people. They can, you know, create fake snow. They can do it right here. They can create a whole environment, a whole atmosphere. You think Jesus is going to come out on a cloud that a man can manipulate? You looking up, waiting on him to come out? Because if man really knew Jesus was coming out on a cloud, he'd make sure one didn't form. Boy, you just making that up as you go. If they had known that he was the Son of Glory, they never would have crucified him. That's what the Bible said. But because of their ignorance, they do these things. So now, he shows you urgency in time. Revelations 1 and 3, somebody read it. Just the verse. What does it say? Read it quickly. Wait a minute, the time is later. Thousand years. Apocalyptic. Futuristic. Right now. Divine timing. Second indicator. Visibility. Verse number 7. Cassie, 7. Revelations 1:7. Oh, you was writing, I'm sorry.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
The reveal, he shows visibility. He shows the power of God coming. Seeing him, not in his flesh, but seeing him in his power. Even those who crucified him. His glorious nature, that's number 3. That's the one you wanted to get to, that I wanted to get you to. Verse number 14 and 15. All right, we got to work a little bit on this one. He has hair like wool, eyes like fire, voice like rushing waters. All of these describe an attribute that has been formally ascribed to his Father, God. God has been described as one with eyes of fire, voice of rushing waters, hear me clearly, feet like burnt brass. They are all found in the Old Testament. Are y'all with me? If you go and look in Daniel chapter number, Daniel 10, verse number 6. Who's being described here? God. What is John doing? He is telling you the Jesus that you have known, and the way that he's describing it to you, mystery doesn't mean that no one knows it. It means that it's known, but it's known by the select few. Here is the mystery. There is nothing new for him to put this to ascribe or to describe Jesus like this. Is because this is how God the Father was formally described. Did you hear it in the book of Daniel? Go to Daniel chapter 7. Verse 9. Is that Daniel 7? Daniel 7, verse number 9. I'm sorry.
I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire.
You hear it? So when he describes him with this description that he describes him of, with these feet like burning brass, he not telling you Jesus was brown skinned. He not telling you Jesus had an afro. Come on, y'all. You can't make Jesus black. You can't make him white. You cannot make him. And don't let this be to your advantage, because you know he did have, you know, and that's bronze is brown, ain't it? Well, no, not for real, really, is it? Yes, it is, whatever. But now you know the truth. He is being described as his father has been formally described. That's what John does. John doesn't come here to pacify you and satisfy you with your argument. And you arguing what Jesus really looked like. Notice that he says Ancient of Days, which means that God never gets old. He doesn't age. When you see John writing here, he is letting you know that I am describing to you now the symbolisms and the dimensions of your existence. I'm closing now. When you hear clearly the indicators, the way that Jesus was just described, you're not going to have any problem with him having hair as sheep's wool, with you being described as a lampstand. Because in Revelations 1, the angel of the churches, which are the lampstand, is describing the angel that you have imagined, like they show in the pictures with the wings. Every person is his or her own angel. Your messenger has been assigned to you. There is no angel that is sent to minister to you other than the angel that God ascribed inside of you. When you say, something told me not to do that, y'all help me with this, and you didn't do it, but the outcome, if you had have done it, could have cost you your life. What was that something that told you? You got to describe it to me. Was it this little? Or was it this big? What color was it? When y'all, wait a minute, all right, y'all talk back to me right now. Whenever I hear you use this phrase, something told me, y'all please describe that to me something. Tell me what you mean something. Help me. An inner thought, a feeling. What else? Did something get it wrong? Something got it right. It's not an it. It is the spirit, the angelic spirit that presents himself with you. You don't call the Holy Spirit an it. You don't call your angel an it. It is the presence, the angel that is given to you. Angel is symbolic as well as lampstand is, because your image of an angel takes form. But you've got to do away with this and feel the presence and the essence of God without having to give it some form. Lord, help us today, Holy Spirit. Because we need it plain. We need something. No, I can't go with that. I can't. There is the lampstand, as with the hair of wool, the feet like burnt brass, the voice of rushing waters. That one's in the book of Daniel too. All of them are in the book of Daniel. One is in the book of Ezekiel. That John takes up to describe brings me now to look at myself as a lampstand, right? Which simply means it's not what I am, it describes what I do. A lampstand simply holds up a light. Is it the light? No. Because without the light, the lampstand is useless. But I got a purpose, because he is the light, and guess what I don't mind being? Oh, God. I don't mind whenever he wants me to go crazy for him, to bear up his light. Have you ever tried to hide light? If we turn this off right now, it's too many cracks in here. But no matter how dark it gets, at some point, things are going to start lighting up. That's because no matter how dark it gets in your life, I told you I'm going to be finished now. Jesus is going to find his way in the situation. He is the light of not only the world, he is the light of your life. And what you do as soon as you see the light, I don't care how dim it is. I don't care how rough times are. Get your mind off the situation and bear up the light. Lord, I don't feel like it. I know you don't. But I'm going to hold up this light right now. God, I'm tired. I know you are. But what you going to do? I'm going to hold up the light. Can I talk to anybody right now? I know you're hurting. I know you got your pain. I know you got your situation. But if you just get your mind off the situation for the moment and hear Preacher Don talking to you right now, get in your assignment, get what God left you to do, and be a lampstand. There is an angel inside of you. Then when I get through with this lesson today, he ain't going to haunt you. He's going to bless you. Because you're going to remember what I'm telling you today. And you're going to say, hello, angel. Oh, yeah, you're going to speak to him. And somebody around you going to say, what you say? And then you're going to say, you wouldn't understand. It's because I know that I have an angelic presence. You don't need no host of angels. God deals in the smallness of one. All you need is the one. Somebody say, I have my angel. And that the first thing we said when they finished reading Revelation 1? I have my angel. I am my angel. It is a part of my dimension. When we move forward, and as we move forward in Revelations, there's not a lot more that I can tell you all, Regina. When you get in here and you start seeing that one, John is describing my Savior Jesus Christ, the glorified one, the power and the majesty of God. I am Alpha. I am Omega. He's telling you I'm no longer Jesus of 33 years. I'm the beginning and the ending. I am the first and I am the last. And I want John, and I'm showing myself to him so that he can show me to you to let you know that I'm looking at you like a lampstand. And I'm holding you now responsible and accountable for bearing up this light. Huh? I'm the potter. What are you? The clay. I shape you and I mold you. I'm pulling you together. When we move into this, Y'all know I like that one about that open door. We did that last week, right? And we see that this door is open. When you see the things that's about to happen in Revelation, you go back, life takes a whole new form. He deals with all of us. Someone say dimensions. The end of this is as we grow in the revelations, not the intelligence, as we grow in the revelation, God draws us closer to him. So that what they say when they read this to you and you be hearing it over your loved one, mortality is given to immortality and corruption is given to other incorruption. We'll take off this being us and we'll put on this new. He don't want you to wait until some preacher get up over you and tell your family that later on. You're going to be able to tell your family that while you're here. And they're going to know that. They're going to know that. I told you all last week, I'm not ready to be an Enoch to walk with God. I'm attached to what I know. I love from Jasmine to Koa. That's from the oldest to the youngest grandchild. From LaShawn to Alina. That's my children. I'm attached to them. Walking with God is that I can't put it in my mind right now. The idea that I would just be so locked into God that I would no longer have that attachment to them. Do you hear what I'm saying? But listen, people, there is a wonderful place that you can get so that you can have the peace and the presence of God, and it'll make these people that you're around every day that much more the better. When I saw my daughter walk in here this morning, the last thing I thought about last night is, after this long week, it would have been wonderful for me to be with her today in worship. And I didn't think that she was going to make it. No, she was the first one here. Last night, the last thing I thought, man, I really want to tell George and Marie, I'd love to see y'all tomorrow. I refrained from saying that, but guess what? That's why when I see y'all, y'all blow me away. If you put some stuff in your heart, you can start controlling what makes your peace great. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know that God will give you the desires of your heart? All you got to do is put it on it. Let me tell you something else. Putting stuff on your heart leads to longevity. As long as I got something in my heart, I can't leave here. Because God got to fulfill the desires of my heart. I keep my heart full of stuff. God, you know I can't go nowhere right now. I got too much stuff on my heart. And so I can't leave right now. So that's why I be telling y'all, I can't check out right now. I got too many things that God has to do that I put in my heart. It's some more seats that has to have some butts in them around here. I got 12 children, y'all. I told my wife this morning, I ain't ever told them they got to come to church to have a relationship with God. And that is the truth, and I don't take it back. But boy, it sure would be good to see them. Am I right? And I ain't going to teach them no different. God, you can worship the Lord wherever you are, but boy, every now and then, wouldn't it be good to see him? That's why I got some stuff in my heart, so I got to show up every Sunday, because I wouldn't want God to show up and I wouldn't even hear. Boy, you missed it. Farrah came to church, and you know she's from the south side of the kingdom. That's an inside joke, y'all. I told my daughter one day, the lady did something, and she said, she don't know who I am. I'm saved, but I'm from the south side. That's fair, and she is. She is from the south. The preacher's kid, you know, they something else. Farrah from the south side of the kingdom. Yes, she is. Ain't she, Kiki? Yes, she is, Lord. But one day I'm going to see her up in here. She get up every morning. She having her mind to come to church. Our kids do that. They do. Y'all know, you know how y'all want? You want your sons, you want them. They having a mind to do it. So did we. Now we here. And it ain't because we older. And it is time. God bless you. You all, this has been wonderful. I've enjoyed today. We're still on the subject of embodiment, and we'll be there until something goes different. I hope that you're taking in the revelation And I hope that it's being presented to you in a way that you can go in it and you can appreciate it that much more. And you can dig and you can say, well, wait a minute. All I got to do is just study. I just got to and pray to God to open my eyes, because it's a wonderful thing. What was that word I told you, Malik? Zakai? The word that I told you to remember? Hemohydrosis. H-E-M-O-H-Y-D-R-O-S-I-S. I'll tell you later, because I don't want you to forget that. It's powerful. All right? That's actually blood coming through your sweat glands. Jesus did that. That's heavy, brother. Yes, he did that in his body. Not that we are trying to do that, but I'm just telling you, he took it to an extreme for us. Yeah, that's right. He did. So don't complain. How's that arm, Eddie? It's good. I see no. All right then, bro. All right. Good. So that was just for a moment. All right. Special prayers for anyone else that desire them. Carolyn, you know it's good to see you today. Draco, what's up? I was preaching and I said, Carolyn, Regina, say. You tipped on in. They didn't even know you were in there. I felt like when I sent this message, it was going to be like this today, when I sent it yesterday, because I say, do whatever you can. Thank you all so much. That's a lot of love. Draco, I love you, man. Stay strong in the Lord, bro. Yes, sir. And all of you, get your tithe and your offering. And my usher is not here today. Oh, he is. I guess where else would he be? Wait, that was why he was ducking down. So. It's back there somewhere. My usher. Do y'all remember the days when he was excited to do that, when you couldn't hold him back? Y'all would do the same thing. When you first start, boy, you just be like, get me, pick me. Then when it come time, like, oh, no, that's how it is. That's life. Yeah. Which is going to describe the first church, which is Smyrna. Your condition of when you first come into God, you be all heads over heels. You don't care about the hypocrites in the church, the crooked deacons, the mothers, and none of that. But you get in there long enough to figure out where everything is, and then you start falling out. That's the first church at Smyrna. Read it. You just did it right here. He says, return to your first love. Stop letting what people do have you upset at what you do for God. You don't want to come to church because of the hypocrite with your hypocritical self. Right. Get it out of you. Ain't that something? And I stopped being hypocritical. I went to the liquor store myself. You're going to send somebody else to get something and make them stumble, but you're going to drink it. Now, that's hypocritical. Stop getting up, putting emphasis on everybody else's sin, and deal with yourself. Amen. Amen. That sounds pretty harsh. Y'all couldn't handle that, could you? Because I said I go to. Well, don't ask me for none if you come to my house. Amen. He tells Smyrna, I'm in Revelation still on my way out the door. He says, return to your first love when things didn't matter. You just love God no matter what. He starts off with the church to Smyrna. He's talking not to some church in Asia. He's talking to you. Love me like you used to love me when all that mattered was me, God. And stop coming up with all of these excuses and reasons that you don't love me no more. Smyrna, the church of Smyrna, every church in there is going to show you about your own self, habits that you have, disciplines that you uphold. And he's going to say, fix it. And he'll tell you what's going to happen if you don't fix it, too. All right, then. All right. So, God bless you. Y'all come to your feet. Anybody got anything else to say? Happy birthday, Keisha. We know you got one coming. Next Sunday, let's have our blessing for our baby girl next Sunday. Is that okay for you? You want to set a date? Let's set a date. Let's lock a date down, and then we're gonna have it, and you're going to see me symbolically do some things with the dripping of the water and things like that. That's just simply us going through the ceremony of what we do in our hearts, and that is that we give this child back to God. Absolutely. Right now. And yes, and we keep in our prayers. And if they're going to be godparents, then they can come too. Amen. If they want to have godparents, and I'll pray with them, and we're just going to be simply asking God, help us through what we are endeavoring to do with this child. And this is what we do to our children, and keep them. Because by the time that the police pull up to their front door, it's too late then. Yeah, you gotta get it done before then. If you get it done before then, when the police pull up, your child will be covered with the word of God. Gonna be covered anyway. God bless you. I love you. I'll see y'all next Sunday. Have a wonderful time.
Best sunglasses you're rocking at the moment?
I'm gonna have to go with the Rick's.
Won't forget that. So, yeah. Let the light shine.